Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Thursday, the 12th of May. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we have been preaching through 1 John. We can't cover everything in those sermons, so these podcasts give a bit more information. Today we're up to chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. Verses 14 and 15 deal with the confidence we have in approaching God in prayer. So what are we to do with this prayer for confidence? Well, here, John says you should pray for your fellow believers. He talks about two types of sin, the sin that leads to death and the sin that does not lead to death. Have you ever wondered what that's about? Have you ever wondered if you were guilty of one or the other? What kind of death is he talking about, physical or spiritual? Well, 13 times in 1 John the word life is used, 7 times in this chapter alone, and each time John is talking about spiritual life. So I think it's fair to say that here he's referring to spiritual life and spiritual death rather than physical. What about these two types of sin? In the Old Testament, there are two types of sin, unintentional sin and intentional sin. Leviticus chapter 4 gives several examples of what should be done when unintentional sin is committed by any Israelite or the whole Israelite community, a leader. Look them up. That's Leviticus 4 verses 2, 13, 22, 27. And each time, there is a sacrifice to be made. The sacrifice will deal with it. However, with intentional sin, intentional rebellion, then death is the only consequence. There is no atonement, and usually the solution is stoning. What about the New Testament perspective? In Mark 3, verses 28 and following, we see the example of the fact that there is no forgiveness for sin against the Holy Spirit. What kind of sin is that? Well, in the context, it's attributing Jesus' works to Satan instead of God. So this is a deliberate perversion and turning away from God and attributing the works of Jesus to the work of Satan. That's a very serious thing. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, it says it's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. The thing is, the NIV translation doesn't make a distinction between the different words that are used that are translated into the English fall away. The apostles all fell away in Mark 14:27. You will all fall away, Jesus told them. But that word is skandalizai, to stumble, instead of in Hebrew 6, peripipto, which means to fall away, to fall flat on your face, a deep apostasy, a ridiculing Jesus, an anti-God state of mind, being opposed to all that is about Jesus, happy to discredit Jesus and faith in him. Very, very different. So, anyone listening to this podcast, I would imagine, is not in that much danger, I would hope at least, of setting your heart and mind deliberately against Jesus to fight against his cause and to attribute the work of God to the work of Satan. If you're tempted towards that, I would suggest you really think and pray carefully about that. But I would imagine that more of us are much more in danger of committing the sin that does not lead to death. What should we do for people who are struggling, who are stumbling? What should we do for those who are not in sin that leads to death, but nonetheless perhaps are in sin? He says we should pray for them. We should do what Jesus did for the stumbling Peter. In Luke 22:32, Jesus said, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus' prayers for Peter ensure that even though he stumbled, he came back. And Peter became a powerful man of God, used by God for building his kingdom and establishing it in such a way that we are here to enjoy the fruits of it even today. Is there someone like Peter that you could pray for today? Would you like someone to pray for you, perhaps if you're feeling like you're in Peter's shoes? Remember 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. Until tomorrow, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.